Amen. Our scripture that Krista read in a little bit of different way today came from the book of Matthew. And I'm going to, instead of just reading that, sorry, June, you can keep it up, but I'm doing something a little different. I'm going to read the genealogy. June loves it when I switch things up on her. But I want to read to you, since Krista's story recapped really well, I want to read to you the first few verses of the book of Matthew. And the reason for that is that there's two accounts of Jesus' birth in the Gospels. The one comes from the book of Luke, and we read a little bit of that yesterday, or last Sunday. We talked about Mary and Mary's part in all of this, and her courage to declare all these wonderful things that her son, who she was pregnant with, would do, and how he would just transform the world. But Matthew is the other place, the other gospel, where we hear this birth story. And while Luke concentrates on Mary, Matthew concentrates on Joseph. And so I want to read for you this morning the most boring part of Matthew. Are you ready for it? You might want to bring it out, but it's important. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And Perez, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Aram, and Aram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon, by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph, and Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram, and Joram, the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah, the father of Jotham, and Jotham, the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh, the father of Amos, and Amos, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. I'm not done. All right? And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliad, and Eliad the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. 18 verses that are all about who? Jesus, but Joseph, right? This entire family history and genealogy that leads us to Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus. Why in the world would Matthew spend the very first part of his story in this way? It's not that engaging, is it? Have any of you actually read through it, besides those of you who've been in Bible study with me this past few weeks? Are you one of the people, like I tend to be, who skip over genealogies when they come in the Bible? And yet, this is how Matthew starts his story, to talk about the Savior of the world. He wants us to understand who he is. But we live in a world today of science, right? And DNA tests and things that you just swab your mouth and send off and we can find out all this information about us. But if you swab Jesus's cheek, we talked about that a little bit this week, how cool would it be to know what Jesus's DNA was really like? If you sent it off, not a single drop of Joseph's DNA would have been a part of Jesus. So what does it say about God that God brings Joseph into this story and is claimed as Jesus's father? I think it says a little bit about adoption, for one. It says in God's eyes, blood is not everything, is it? That there is strength in that loving family. Just like the nest today, the people who create that loving environment for you are your family. They are the ones from whom you are descended. Now, I said I wasn't going to preach about Star Wars this morning because I didn't know who would get my references or not. Did anybody see it at all this weekend?
Yes.
All right, well, I'm going to do it. But there's this moment at the very... I can't ruin it, can I?
No.
Oh. But there's this moment that is all about adoption. How about that? There's this moment that's all about adoption that... one of the main characters claims her family. She decides who her family is because they are the ones that loved her. They are the ones that nurtured and cared for her, and she claims their name. And this is what is happening in the book of Matthew. That God says to Joseph, you're going to be the one to love this child. And so what I want you to do is to take that family line that is full of important names. It's full of lots of scandals. It's full of people who did things that were very questionable, and then people who did things that were very courageous. And I want you, Joseph, to be proud of who you are and who Jesus, your son, will become. And so, in what Krista read, we hear this story of this young man who is engaged to be married and finds out that this young girl is pregnant. And it says this about Joseph. It says that he was a righteous man. Now, we, in our day and age, sometimes have negative connotations to the word righteous, don't we? We think righteous often means like holier than thou. Like that person just acts all righteous, like they're better than other people. But righteous in this sense means somebody who is good and tries their hardest to do the correct thing, the right thing. And so Joseph, being a righteous man, makes this decision to dismiss this young girl quietly. Because he is well within his rights to have her stoned and put to death. He could do that. But he doesn't. Even though it's the law, he is already dealing with these Jesus issues, right? Of you have heard it said, but I say. He's already putting these people, his care and concern for this woman before just what the rule and letter of the law is. And so he's going to do the right thing. And it's in that moment, probably as he's sleeping on it, right? Everybody needs to sleep on some big decisions. That God comes to him in a dream. And if you know your Old Testament or your Hebrew scripture, you'll know that God appeared to many of Joseph's ancestors in dreams. Lots of them received dreams from God. And so he's following in line and receiving this dream and this message and these words that say, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." You are to take on the role of the father who names the child. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph wakes up from his dream, and he chooses to trust God in that scary and unsure moment. He chooses to trust that this baby will be more than he could ever imagine. That this baby, Jesus, Savior, will save the entire world from our sins. The whole world. It really is incredible the things that God asks us to do. God asks us to do big things. God asks us to bring people into our lives and to love them. God asks us to create space and homes and sanctuaries and nests where people are nurtured. And sometimes that happens through biology. Sometimes that happens through DNA. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it happens through adoption. Sometimes it happens through neighbors. Sometimes it happens through community partnerships. Sometimes it happens in church, where we become the place for one another where love is felt. When we bring all that we are and all that God has made us to be and our whole genealogy into the mix, and we hold one another and we care for one another and we love one another. And this is what the Christmas story is about. It is about Jesus deciding, making a decision for this earth to be his home, for that manger to be the nest, for us to be his family. And God speaks to us just like God spoke to Joseph. God says, "Will you nurture? Will you care for people? Will you give water to somebody who is thirsty? Will you clothe the naked? Will you visit the sick? Will you speak to those who are in prison? Because when you do that, you are doing it in my name." Just like Joseph did for the baby. You are loving me. And so I invite you this Christmas to think about who God is calling you to love. Who is God calling you to be in a new relationship with? Who is God asking you to adopt? Who is God asking you to reach out to and create a loving environment for? Because we know that there is no end to people in our communities and in our world who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. And so God says to us this day, do not be afraid. Let us pray. Lord God, Emmanuel, with us then, now, and always, help us to remember that that name is more than a name for a nice, sweet baby, but that it tells us the whole story of God. God, thank you for being with us, and help us to be with others. Amen.